As I mentioned this morning, I speak on the subject tonight, why God can't explain why. We read from the book of Lamentations. Again, it was written by the prophet Jeremiah, and he was speaking about the condition of the nation of Israel after they had gone into captivity. The attack by the Babylonians and the carrying away of Israel, the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, everything that happened to them is an important event in the Old Testament. There's much of the Old Testament that leads up to it, as the prophets foretold the judgment that was coming. There's much in the Old Testament that talks about what goes on during that time of punishment. There's much in the Old Testament that talks about God lifting his hand and drawing the nation back together again. But the prophets, especially a prophet like Jeremiah, warned the people about sin. And again, these were God's people. And he said, you can't sin and get by with it. I mean, even though you're God's people, even God chose you among all the peoples of the world, if you turn away from him, if you sin, he is going to send punishment. And by the way, it's not part of my message, but I would just remind you that we serve the same God. We are God's people, and we cannot get by with sin, even though we're God's people. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And because he loves us, and because he has a plan for our life, and because he's working that plan, if we get into sin, he's going to send punishment to get us back within the straight and narrow way. It's guaranteed. In fact, if you're a Christian and you get into sin and God doesn't punish you, I'd worry. I'd begin to worry. Because as a child of God, just like, I mean, if you had a dad like my dad, I knew when I did something wrong, I was going to get it. I mean, there wasn't a doubt in my mind. He might not find out about it for a while, but it seemed like he always found out, and I knew that I was going to pay for my digressions as a child. I feel the same way as a Christian. I mean, I know that if I go into sin, I look forward to the punishment, because I know when I get punished, it's a sign that I belong to the Father and he's punishing me because he wants me to turn out right. Now, that's sort of a perverted way to look at it, but that's the way I look at it. I'm glad that he spanks me. I'm glad that he disciplines me. I'm glad that he cares enough for me as one of his children, that he loves me enough to chasten me when I get off in the dingwigs. So Israel had ignored the prophet's warning. They had ignored what Jeremiah and others have told them. And so God sent Babylon. He sent King Nebuchadnezzar. They tore down the walls. They destroyed the city. They destroyed the temple. They carried people away captive. And even historians that write about that period of time talk about what a terrible time it was for the nation of Israel, a terrible time for the people of God. In the time when Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Jerusalem, we read in the Bible, some of the prophets tell us that mothers took their young children and cooked them and ate them to stay alive. It was a terrible, terrible time. And again, Jeremiah was the one that warned about it was coming. He was the one that was there when it came. And then he was the one that talked about what was going to happen after. And he wrote the book of Lamentations to talk about how terrible the conditions were for the nation of Israel. And if you paid attention as we read the first six verses, you caught some of the agony and the things that Israel was going through in that time. And you can just hear it in Jeremiah's voice. You can hear it as he recounts all the things that happening. He in the back of his mind, he's asking the question, and he knows the answer to the question, but he's asking the question, Lord, why did you let this happen? Why is it so rough? Why is it so intense? Why are all these things? I knew you were going to punish us, and I knew we deserved it. I warned the people that it was coming. And we deserve it. There's no doubt in my mind that we as your people turned away from you. And you gave us plenty of opportunity to repent and turn back to you. And we didn't. And I know the punishment is justified. I know you have every right to punish us. But why is it so intense? Why is it so hard? Why are there so many things that are happening to your people? Have you forgotten us? Have you deserted us? Have you crossed us off your list? Why are you no longer our friend? Why have you left us completely to our enemies? And Jeremiah, even though he prophesied the punishment that was coming, even though he knew it was coming, he still asked God the question, why? Why? Job asked that question. As we read the book of Job and we see how Job suffered for no reason, how he lost his wealth, how he lost his children, how his friends, as they came to console him, instead of consoling him, said, Job, you must deserve this. God would not do this to an innocent person. There must be some sin in your life that has caused God to remove his hand of blessing from you. Why don't you just confess it? Why don't you just tell God that you know that what you did was wrong and ask his forgiveness? And as Job sat in the garbage heap to try to get some relief from the boils that God sent, scraped his sores with the broken pottery that was there, took some kind of comfort from the fire that burned in that place, he asked a question, why? Why, God, why? We ask the same question when sickness comes and it just seems to linger. And the doctors try everything they know to do, and we don't get any better. We go to God, and we ask the question, why, God? I've tried to live my life for you. I've tried to do what's right. Why have you allowed this to come into my life? Why is it lingering so long? Why, if you're trying to teach me something, then teach me, and let me get over it. Let me get better. When death comes, and we lose a loved one, and we ask that same question. We expected to spend the rest of our lives together, and death robs us of our loved one. And we ask the question, why? Why couldn't we live our life completely together? Why did you have to take this one that I love? When financial difficulties come, and it seems we're trying to do our best. We tithe and we manage our finances according to the principles that are in God's word. And yet we struggle. And we ask the question, why? And most of the time, and by the way, I think it's okay to ask God why. I think that's an okay kind of question. God knows that we're human beings. God knows, he made us the way we are. And he expects us to ask the question why. But a lot of the times when we ask the question why, we don't get an answer. It seems like our question, our prayers are falling on deaf ears. God doesn't answer that question a lot of time. And tonight, I want to tell you why. And again, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd. I know you probably already know the answer. But I want to take that answer, and then I want to make some applications in other areas of life with that same principle. Sort of gets back to what we talked about in Sunday school this morning, about jumping to conclusions. It sort of gets to what Brother John and Brother Laurel were mentioning in their testimony about the woman that God gave us. And I'm going to touch on that, and you'll see how I'm going to tie it all together in just a second. So something comes into our life. We go to God. We say, why? Why have you allowed this to happen? Why have you deserted me? Why are you no longer my friend? Why, as Jeremiah said, have you left us to our enemy? And here's God comes, and here's what he says. I understand your question. I understand you. I have been in your realm. I have walked in your shoes. I have been a man. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, who, talking about Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. What God is saying, I've walked where you've walked. I've walked through the valleys that you've walked through. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That means when we have infirmities that come into our life, God just doesn't set up in heaven with his arms crossed, an unfeeling God. I think God weeps when we weep. I think when we're discouraged, God knows what we're going through. I mean, he is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He feels with us. Then the last part of that verse, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When Jesus was in the form of a man, and again, I can't explain this to you in its entirety, but I believe that he endured as a man every sorrow, every trial, every heartache that every person has ever endured. I don't believe there's anything in your life that you're going through that God doesn't know about, that Jesus doesn't know about, that in some way he experienced as himself when he walked the face of this earth. That's why the Bible could say, in all points, like as we. And he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities because he knows what it is personally to go through it. And when we go through it, he goes through it with us. When we cry, he cries. When we weep, he weeps. When we're discouraged, he is discouraged with us. He knows what we're feeling. He says, I've been there. I've been in your world. I've walked where you're walking. I've endured what you're enduring. I've gone through what you're going through. You're going through tragedy. I understand what that is because I've been there. And so he says, I understand you. I have been in your realm. I've walked where you walk. I understand your language. I understand you. But then he says, you don't understand me. You've never been in my realm. You've never been God. You've never walked where I've walked. You don't understand my language. The prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 55, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God says, look, you're man on one planet, in one galaxy. I'm the God of the whole universe. I created all the galaxies. I created all the planets. I created all men. I've been where you are, but you have never been where I am. You ask why? I'd like to tell you. And someday when we get to spend eternity in heaven, if we care anymore about it, and I think maybe when we get to heaven, we won't care about it anymore because we'll be with Jesus. But if we do, if we still care about it, I think Jesus will set us down and say, let me tell you what I was doing in your life. Let me tell you why. I couldn't tell you why then because you wouldn't understand it. We speak a different language. You don't have the same experience base that I have. You don't have the same perspective that I have. We were talking about in Sunday school this morning about how the 9.5 tribes jumped to a conclusion about why the 2.5 tribes built that altar before they crossed over Jordan to take their possession of the land that Moses has given them. They jumped to a conclusion. Well, they're building that altar so they can worship God on that altar. They're rebelling against God. I mean, God had said we're only supposed to offer our sacrifices on the altar that was near the tabernacle, near the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was. And these people had gone and they built this altar on the banks of Jordan before they crossed over to the land that Moses had given them. And again, the 9.5 tribes jumped to the conclusion. They were looking at it from their own perspective. They were looking at it from their own experience. And they jumped to the conclusion that the people were going into sin. And again, the Sunday school lesson this morning was how they went and talked and how they found out what the true motives was. Well, it's in the same way. We have lived our life on this earth. This is the realm that we live in. Our experiences are based in this earth. Our perspective is based in this earth. And when tragedy comes, we ask the question, why, God? Why have you allowed this to happen? And God says, I know, but I can't tell you because we don't have the same experience base. We don't have the same perspective. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. It would be like me trying to explain to Aaron about calculus. Now, he's pretty good at math. He got a little medal for his math in kindergarten. But he knows nothing about calculus. By the way, I've forgotten about most of what I knew about it at one time, too. But if I tried to sit down and explain to him calculus, he would not understand it, because he does not have the same perspective and the same experience base that his pa has in learning what calculus is all about. And so it would be impossible for me to explain to him what calculus is all about. In the same way, it's impossible for God to explain to us why he allows certain things to come into our life, because we don't have the same perspective. We don't have the same experiences. We're not God. We haven't walked where God has walked. He's walked where we've walked. He knows what we're going through because he went through it. He has our experience. He has our perspective. But we don't have his. And he can't explain why until we get to that point where we walk where he walks. Until we walk, as Brother John sang about, into that place where there'll be no more separations, where the roses always bloom and the tree of life grows, until we come into heaven and we look face to face into our Savior's face, and the blinders fall off, and that glass dimly that we look through now falls away, and we see him as he is. And then, if we're interested, he can impart to us why. This is why I let it happen in your life. This is why I had to let it come into your life. This is why I had to let it happen that way. I was doing it for your good. I had a purpose in mind. I had a reason in mind. And so I say tonight, when we ask God the question why, and no answer comes, I say tonight, let's just trust him. Let's just trust him. Let's just know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God knows what he's doing. And everything that he allows to come into our life has a reason, has a purpose. Again, if he tried to explain it to us now, we wouldn't understand it, because our perspective, his ways are higher, his thoughts are higher than ours. We wouldn't understand it. And so he says, just trust me. Just trust me. I know what I'm doing. I have a plan. I'm working that plan. And everything that I allow to come into your life, there's a purpose. There's a reason behind it. Now, let me bring it down to another level. Let me make a couple of practical applications. If you have never been in another person's realm, you cannot always understand why that person does what he does. If you have never walked in another person's shoes, if you have never had the experiences that they have, if your perspective is not exactly the same as theirs, then there are going to be times where you will not understand why they do what they do. So let me start with the example. I have it in my notes tonight that Brother John and Brother Laurel sort of hinted at in their testimonies. Husbands, there are going to be times that come into your life that you will not understand why your wife does something that she does, or why she does it in the way that she does it, simply because you have never been a wife. You have not walked in her shoes. You do not have the same perspective that she does. You do not have the same life experiences that she has. Now, again, I know as husbands and wife, you share a lot of life experiences. And sometimes husbands and wife get real close to the way they think and the way they do things. But I dare say every married couple tonight has experienced times in their marriage where the husbands have said, "Why did you do that? Or why did you do that in the way that you did it?" And they may have asked a question not as kindly as I just asked it. They've asked a question, "Why?" And you as a wife, you want to explain why. I mean, you know why. But you know that even if you try to explain it, they have no chance of understanding it. Not because they're dumb. Not because they don't care. It's because they just don't have the same experiences and the same perspective that you do. I mean, they are going to do things, and they're going to do things in such a way that are unexplainable to you as their husband. Now, the same way, wives, I would say to you tonight, there are going to be times when your husband does something or does it in such a way that you have to ask the question, why did you do that? Why did you do it in that way? And they're going to want to explain it to you, but they can't because you've never been a husband. You've never walked in their shoes. You've never walked in the realm that they walk in. Now, again, I'm not saying this. In fact, let me say, this should not be the rule. This should not be everything that you do is unexplainable to each other. But there will be times when one or the other does something that they can't explain to you why they did it or why they did it in that way. And I would say to you, as husbands and wives, just trust them. Trust them. I mean, you may want an explanation, and they may do their best to explain it to you. And yet you just scratch your head. I mean, I've experienced this myself. I mean, Debbie would do something, and I'd say, why did you do that? I just don't understand. And she'd try to explain it to me, and after a half hour, I said, I've heard what you said, but I still don't understand why you did it in that way. Why would you do it in that way? And she'd finally say, well, you just don't understand. I said, that's right. That's why I'm asking the questions. I don't understand. She said, well, I can't explain it to you. And I finally got to the point. I said, okay, I'm just going to mark this down on my little 3x5 card. This is one of those things that I can't understand. I'm just going to chalk it up. I'm going to trust you that you knew what you're doing. That's what I encourage you to do tonight. Again, it's not the rule, but there are going to come times when you can't explain to each other what you did or why you did it. Let your love take control at that point and just trust her or trust him. And again, if it happens every day, you need to come and see me because I need to help you. But occasionally, it's going to happen. Just trust one another. Just trust one another. You have not walked in their shoes. You do not live in their realm. You do not live in their world. I know you're husband and wife, but men, you don't understand what it is to be a wife, and ladies, you don't understand what it is to be a husband. One more example, and we're out of time. I got to quit. You know, as your pastor, I try to be very transparent. I try to tell you what I'm going to do, and I try to tell you why I'm going to do it. But there are times, as your pastor, where I do something, and I've had people come up and ask me, "Preacher, why did you do this? Why did you handle this situation in this way?" And I make an attempt to tell them why I did, and yet I can still see the puzzlement in their eyes. And I have to say, well, just trust me on this one. I can't go into all the, and a lot of times I can't go into all the details. I can't tell you everything that I know for sake of privacy for the other person. And sometimes I just have to ask you, just trust me on this one. I can't explain why. Now, you know, fortunately I have a couple former pastors in the congregation, and so I can talk to Brother Ray, and I can talk to Brother Harry, and I can get a sympathetic ear, and they understand, what I did and why I did it. But a lot of you can't. A lot of you scratch your head and say, "I don't understand why you did it that way. I don't understand, your actions in this situation." And again, it's not the rule; it's the exception. And so I just ask you to trust me. Just trust me. I just ask you to trust each other as husbands and wives. I just ask you to trust God. He can't always explain why. I mean, he knows why. He's got a purpose for everything he does, a reason for everything he does. But sometimes he can't explain it to us because we're not God. We don't walk where he walks. We don't live in his realm. So let's just trust him. Now, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted him for your salvation, you've never trusted him for your soul, I'll remind you as I close that the Bible says we're all sinners. All have come short of the glory of God. Again, as I mentioned this morning, don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. The more you compare yourself to Jesus Christ, the more you know how far short we fall of God's glory. There's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But thank God. Thank God. As Brother Jack testified a moment ago, because of Calvary, because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary, we don't have to live in that sin. We don't have to live under the condemnation, the punishment of sin. Jesus paid the price for us. And if we ask him, if we trust him and we ask him, he'll save us. If you're here tonight, you might be the only one here tonight. If you're the only one here tonight that's never received Christ, then this part of the message is just for you. If you've never received Christ, you can do that tonight. He will welcome you into his family. He will forgive your sin based on what Jesus did for you on Calvary. All you have to do is come and take it. Just come and take it. And he'll make you part of his family. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth in it. I pray that we'd heed it tonight and that we would trust you. We would know that you are God and you have a purpose and a reason for everything you allow to come into our life. And even though sometimes you can't explain why, we just need to know that you love us and that you have our best interest at heart and you're working your plan for our life. I pray if there is somebody here tonight that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Father, you'd help them see their sin. You'd help them see the penalty of that sin. You'd help them see the price that was paid on Calvary for their sin. And that tonight you'd help them to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. They can do it right where they sat. They can just pray the prayer that you taught sinners to pray. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus, save me. And you'll write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life and give them a home in heaven. I pray that if they do that tonight, they'll share it with us. They'll walk the aisle in just a minute and make public their profession in Jesus Christ. Or if they need our help in doing it, help them to come. We'll take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. So bless this time of invitation. Father, use it to build your kingdom. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.